This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
the award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
Hey, you. Yeah, you, on the job site. Did you know that over half of the people who listen to Joy are allies of the LGBTIQ plus community, just like you? So you may not be aware, times are very tough financially at Joy, and we're reaching out for your support. So tell your workmates, your next door neighbour, and even your mum to head over to joy.org.au and help us build Joy Nation by making a donation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
This is Saturday Magazine.
You are on Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9, Macca and Tass.
Macca, in case you hadn't noticed, retail's had quite a slump of late.
It has.
Even just coming here this morning, I noticed so many businesses and so many empty shops here on Bourke Street, in the Bourke Street Mall, right around David Jones. And of course...
I was down there this morning.
At David Jones.
Down the mall at DJ's, buying my weekly staple of beef Wellington at the food hall.
Well, I reckon I counted about 8 for lease signs.
Yeah, there's a lot.
Just so in the mall alone.
Who are we talking to now?
Paul Zara. Paul Zara is the newly appointed chief executive of the Australian Retailers Association. And we've got him in the studio this morning on the airwaves this morning to really talk about this fall in retail and perhaps what we can expect to happen in the coming times with the retail sector. Good morning to you, Paul.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Got your voice back. We couldn't speak to you last week.
Sorry about that.
You'd worn it out. You're doing way too much media, Paul.
I was on Zoom from morning to night, yes. And unfortunately my voice gave in.
Yeah. Now, as we're saying, you know, retail, I think what COVID has really crystallised for us is how important retail has been to the... this is bricks and mortar retail. I'm not saying that online isn't important, but bricks and mortar in terms of employment, in terms of social engagement, in terms of people's ability to get out and mingle. But as an economic driver, we're now realising and now seeing what a huge economic driver it's been for the country, and how the impact of the shutdown we've been going through is playing out. Would you like to speak to that, Paul?
Well, yeah. Look, I guess when you see a store closed, it's such a strong visual statement, isn't it? So you sort of walk past and you realise that it's a sign of the economy. Often when we walk past, it's actually quite a sad look. But in fact, it is a changing landscape, but I think COVID-19, what it's done, it's brought forward about a decade's worth of change that's happening in the sector. We're going to see happen in the next 18 months to 2 years. And I'll just give you a couple of stats quickly. We buy about 10% of total sales online in this country. It's quite low by penetration compared to other countries. But what we're seeing is that within the next 2 years, less than that will double to 20 quite quickly. And that is really about the digital transformation. So the new way of shopping is really going to be about what I'm terming contactless. So anything from not using cash, which was a reducing trend anyway, right through to virtual fitting rooms and anything that allows a customer not to to touch. So that, you know, the experience in store becomes very much still a social, sensory, but no longer, unfortunately, a tactile experience.
So, Paul, are people buying more, or is there actually a shift in the way in which we're buying?
Well, the interesting statistic is that what we call the omnichannel customer, which is the customer that shops online and in store, is actually the most profitable and the most engaged. So there's a real reason for us to continue the digital transformation. It's often played out in the media as being a negative thing, but in fact the data that's collected when you're shopping in both those channels allows us to serve that customer a lot better because we're collecting information all the time. So being able to serve up specific, you know, the future will be, of course, that when you're shopping online, that you'll be told what you want before you even know what you want. But the sales currently, the ABS data that came out recently, retail sales for April were minus 17% from the month before and nearly minus 10 year on year. Now, it's the lowest the poorest result since the ABS has been collecting data on retail sales. So it is of concern. May has bounced back, I think, because most stores were closed. So we've seen people returning to shop in May. But it is sort of also camouflaged by the fact that JobKeeper is in place. So we potentially will have a cliff come September when JobKeeper ends. So that is the concern for retailers right now.
So
No, go on, Tash, please.
I was just interested in sort of where we're going, so looking at the future. So if you're predicting there's going to be a doubling of online sales, does that mean that we will see a doubling of closure of physical stores?
Well, it may not correlate exactly that way, but yes, you will see certainly more consolidation in the retail industry. More store closures will definitely occur, and you've heard the recent announcements from some of the bigger retailers. And the way I try to explain this quite easily is that when I was growing up in Sunshine in Victoria, St Albans is the next suburb. It's pretty much the same. The interesting thing for me was that, in fact, back then, of course, when retailers wanted growth, the only way they got growth was by opening up more stores.
Yes.
So the issue is, of course, through the whole 90s into the early 2000s, retailers have now got these legacy tenancy and leasing that they need to get out of because the customer's changed. So the customer wants to shop, particularly for things that are transactional, where you don't really need to have the in-store experience. If you're using a coffee machine at home and you want coffee beans, you go on a subscription model and it's delivered to you every second week. It's that sort of convenience. And the first interesting data point that's come out of COVID-19 is that Deloitte do a survey and they're saying that for the first time customers are seeing convenience more important than price. So they're prepared to pay more to have the convenience because we're becoming more and more time poor, I guess. So that's an ongoing change, a trend that was happening anyway, but that's been brought forward by the result of COVID-19.
Paul, hi, it's Paul here. I just want to declare my interest. Obviously, I'm a retailer. I work for David Jones. But one of the questions I wanted to ask you is, we know we've got too much retail space. I think you're bang on that COVID's going to accelerate the pace of change. But retail is pretty much a team sport. And the question I wanted to ask you, do you think the landlords, particularly the big and regional shopping malls, are really on board with this scale of change that's about to happen? Because they're playing a very, very big role in either not reducing rents or holding retailers to rents, which is why I guess some of the Target reactions have probably happened. But how do you think that sector is really reacting to what's going on in the retail world?
Well, this is a big issue because talk about pain points for retail. Two biggest costs is payroll first. So, in fact, in JobKeeper, the government moving swiftly, whilst it may not be perfect, it has certainly saved the economy to a certain extent. So it's been, we've all been grateful for that. But the other pain point is landlords. So landlords are not used. There's an imbalance of power between a landlord and a retailer, and they're not used to having those types of conversations. They generally, sign up the lease and they've banked that money way in advance of being collecting it. So this is challenging for that sector. There's been good examples from landlords doing the right thing, and there's been some really poor examples of landlords doing the right thing. So as a result, as most retailers have put their rent on hold, this will play out now in the next few months, which is why we'll start to see more retailers go into administration. Unfortunately, there won't be a choice for them. So unless they get landlord support and then the landlords take a much sort of longer-term view, it is a disaster for the industry.
You're painting a fairly pessimistic picture Paul. Is there anything positive to look out for?
Well, look, I don't want to paint a pessimistic picture because I guess what I do say is the industry is resilient. It does, it has a history of reinventing itself. I think the future's really bright because I think there's a bit of right-sizing that's going on right now. It's temporary. I take a much longer-term view on these issues. And I think the future, from a customer experience point of view, will be significantly better because as retailers reduce their physical footprints, they're also actually investing heavily in digital. So the ability to provide a better service outcome will be significant. So we often, through nostalgia, often think about the corner store as being a good example where you walked in and, the milk bar owner knew you by name and et cetera, knew what you bought. Well, in fact, technology does a better job than of that than what a corner store will do. So digitally, that sort of information data, assuming that, you know, everyone will do the right thing from a privacy perspective, which is a fair assumption, then that experience will be totally enriched. And the future is really, really bright. It just will be much more digitally and technology focused in a much more, reduced physical footprint. So customers will demand more experience-wise from a service perspective when they're in store, of course.
I used to say, Paul, that, you know, with the reduction in manufacturing jobs and a whole range of other industries, we can't all be baristas. Well, I say now, we can't all be delivery drivers or packers in fulfillment centres. And I think, you know, it's interesting, yes, that Deloitte survey, I saw that people are putting, in effect, a premium on convenience over price. So people are prepared to pay a little bit more for the premium of having things delivered. It's going to be pretty difficult, Paul, for people to go back to the old system, you know, that we were used to for so many years of shopping, for so many, in particular, for things that you use on a regular basis.
Well, Macker, I'd say to you that it's pretty hard to try a pair of jeans on for sizing virtually.
It is. And, you know, so there's always an opportunity there.
I mean, I'm being really basic, and I know you're all laughing at me. But
no, I'm not.
I mean, hello, how do you try on a pair of jeans or a shirt or a pair of shoes virtually?
Although in just saying that, if I can just add to that, answer that question, Tess, I guess what does happen is that if you're buying from the same brand,
you know,
have the first shop, your first experience may be in a store, but just from a convenience point of view, if you wanted to replace a business shirt, people generally stick with the same brands, and if you're doing that, then the online experience is perfect because you get things delivered to your door. And obviously, most retailers have great returns processes if you're not in a hurry. It does mean you've got to plan a little bit more when updating your wardrobe, but generally, that's what people do to get around it. And it goes by a sector. So, you know, if you're buying food, if you're doing your supermarket shop, not everybody wants the experience of pushing a trolley around a store, I guess. So having that delivered to you at your convenience is important. So I was going to quickly just also add, the other interesting thing is, of course, people have been working from home.
Yes.
So the whole delivery issue that goes with buying online is removed.
And
so that's an interesting trend in itself.
And, of course, what's also happened, Paul, is been a huge increase in, you know, we talk about contactless in the shop, but a lot of these deliveries, people are now not signing for them. They're just left on the front doorstep, which, okay, works fine until it's stolen. But you know, if it's hard to make a prediction, we've got a little bit of time left. But
yes,
let's think forward a couple of years. Where do you think retail is going to be? Is it going to recover to any extent, or is it perhaps going to decline a little bit more, and then stabilise?
Look, I think the short answer to that it's $325 billion industry. It's the largest private sector and employs 1.3 million. Yes, absolutely, the skill and capability of the people that we actually recruit will change because it'll be much more about logistics, technology, data analytics than it was about face-to-face service. But it will, whilst there's, my short answer, I guess, is whilst there's consumers, they'll consume. It'll be just different, and there's different trends. So in all the down trading, supermarkets have been trading through the roof, liquor have been trading through the roof, anything to do with electronics or home offices have been trading through the roof. They've been in double-digit growth. So I just want to make sure you've got a balanced perspective. There's winners and losers, as there always is. And one other interesting stat, if I may, regarding Deloitte, is that they, out of their survey, there is a strong willingness now, which has changed from a consumer point of view, to buy local, even if the price is slightly higher.
Mm.
So we've got some 47% of Australian consumers planning to buy more locally sourced products going forward, even if that costs a little bit more. Now, that's not what that's good for, is that retail does play a strong part in the community. So if people are going to shop locally with locally produced, that's a great outcome for Australia's production, I guess.
Yeah. Paul, it's great to have a chat with you again, obviously with a new role and new hat on, but we'd love to do that again sometime when you're next in Melbourne and our studios are operating in person. We'd love to see you in here.
Yeah.
My pleasure.
Thanks so much. Paul Zara fills many roles, and including with the Pinnacle Foundation, and good to see you, you know, staying in retail. We need someone with your lobbying and knowledge skills. It's really good.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.